Don't forget as well, next Sunday is our Harvest Fellowship Dinner. That will be held shortly after the morning service, beginning around 12:30. Bulletin suggests to you how you can help with that dinner. And so we're looking forward to a wonderful time of fellowship next Sunday afternoon as well. I made a little error today in the bulletin. It's one I should not have made, but I did. I forgot to put my son's birthday in the bulletin today. His birthday's today. And when I was doing the bulletin earlier in the week, I have a list that I follow, and somehow his name wasn't on that list, and I didn't even remember. So happy birthday, Nathan. And also, Kelly has a birthday this week, too, an anniversary this week, too, coming up for Philomena and John. Take the back of your bulletin, and I want you to quickly jot down five things you're thankful for this morning. Jot on your bulletin five things for which you're thankful. As I mentioned, last Sunday was really a part of this short series on things that I'm thankful for, and certainly I'm thankful for the love of God. I'm thankful for the cross of Christ. We looked at those as we prepared last Sunday for our communion time together, and so thankful for the love of God and the cross of Christ. All right. You can turn along with doing that. Turn to 2 Timothy. It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is only about 2.5 weeks away. 2 weeks from this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And aren't you glad that some of our forefathers decided to take a special day and as a nation give thanks to the Lord. Society always tries to rob us of the true meaning of our holidays. I hope you don't fall into the trap of calling this Turkey Day. You know, this is Thanksgiving to God. And, you know, and it's sad that people want to have Thanksgiving, but they never tell who they're to be thankful to. Thanksgiving always has to have an object of thanks. And we can't just be thankful. You always have to be thankful to someone. And yet, in our sad, politically correct society in which we live, we can't even really suggest that the thankfulness all needs to be directed toward God. He's the source. All right, you got your list? I hope you didn't have a hard time coming up with five things. We should be able to come up with a lot of things in a very short manner. If we are a people who know God, boy, we certainly have many things to be thankful for. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read these words. Starting at verse 11. It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know, one of the things that I know has happened to all of us since last Sunday, something has happened in common to all of us as compared to today and last Sunday. OK? Can anybody suggest what happened to all of us?
We got older.
We are not the same as we were last Sunday. Not one of us is the same. We have all changed. We're all older. We're all wiser. Let's see, maybe. Hopefully, we're all wiser. Some of us might be poorer. Maybe a few of us might be richer. Some of us might be stronger. Some of us might be weaker. Some of us might be lighter. And some of us might be heavier. But what I'm trying to point out is what? We all change. The one constant in our life is that it's constant change. Constant change. Everything's different. Now, perhaps somebody has had some kind of a loss since last week. Maybe there's additional sorrow in your life for some reason. Maybe there's additional joy in your life for some reason. Maybe your emotions have been up or down this week. Maybe you are tired more than normal. But the truth is, because of who we are, finite beings, we all experience change. Now, you know, in the Christian life, our goal is that at least spiritually speaking, and of course your spiritual affects every other area of your life, that spiritually speaking, our goal is to be what? Consistent with Christ and his person and being, because we are being conformed into his image. And so the goal is that we're not given to severe changes, but that we begin to develop a stableness, a oneness, a calmness in our lives. But there are things that try to shatter that every day, don't they? A week can be going along fine, and then one phone call can ruin it all. And so the goal is that we try to build our lives upon that which is secure, that doesn't change. And that's the thing I'm thankful for this morning. If we were to study the attributes of God, we could study for many weeks and months the attributes of God. But there is one attribute that I think is kind of not more important than the others, but it affects all the others. It's kind of the capstone. It's the crowning of all the attributes of God. And it's what makes all the attributes of God so wonderful, is because of this crowning capstone. You know what it's called? Immutability. God doesn't change. Aren't you glad? He doesn't change. As much as we all change and have changed and continue to change, I keep having to have the barber cut off less and less hair every time. At least the amount that covers my... And he must think I'm vain, because he's trying to talk me into leaving it long and combing it over, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm not into that, you know. And but, you know, we change. And isn't it wonderful today that there is someone who doesn't change? Who doesn't change? And I am thankful for that. You know what that gives to my life? Stability. That gives stability when everything else around us changes. God doesn't change. And this verse that we read here, it says in verse 13, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. That's a verse about changing his very nature, and he can't do that. He can't change his nature. God doesn't change his mind. I have been alive long enough to realize that there are no guarantees in this life about tomorrow. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. I have a plan of what I'd like to see take place tomorrow, but there's all kinds of things that could interrupt that plan. And, we didn't feel it here, but just within the last couple of weeks here, there was an earthquake here in New York again. And you could be just going along your regular pattern, and can you imagine? An earthquake could interrupt that pattern. And, the beauty of the snow and the beauty of ice and so forth in Antarctic, but all of a sudden there's an eruption of a volcano that could take place and destroy a lot of that and melt that snow and ice. All of us live with the element of unexpectedness in our lives. But aren't you glad for James 1:17 that says this? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. And this is what the last verse, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's talking about God. There is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. People change. People change. Sometimes for the better, sometimes not for the better. People change. But God doesn't change. There is no variableness with him. And I believe this is one of the crowning of glories of his attributes. And this immutableness of not only God, but of Jesus Christ. Because what does Hebrews 13:8 tell us? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this attribute is not only just an attribute of God, it's an attribute of the whole Godhead. Christ doesn't change. And I want to give you, in the time we have this morning, four or five ways that affects our relationship with God. Number one, God is always love. I don't want to use the vernacular, but I'm just trying to make a point here. Have any of you ever experienced the fact that somebody did you wrong? Now, I know that's not good English, right? That's kind of the... Did anybody do you wrong? Well, if they haven't, you're not living here on earth. People do us wrong, don't they? People we trust maybe sometimes break that trust. Maybe people we respect do something that causes us to lose that respect. People aren't always consistent. People aren't always truthful with us. And But as I mentioned last Sunday, comparing the love of God and the cross together as a demonstration of that love, certainly today I am so thankful that God's love doesn't change. What is the word that we sometimes associate with the love of God in that it doesn't have any, I'm going to give it away by my words, so conditions, so it's not conditional, it is unconditional. And I want you to turn to 1 John. You're in 1 Timothy, turn over a little bit further to 1 John, chapter 4. And in 1 John 4, and we're going to start at verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is what? Of God. And everyone that knoweth and that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And so this is just one of dozens and dozens of affirmations in God's word that God loves us and God is love. And because of the immutability of God, so is his love immutable. His love doesn't change. The same God that loved you in eternity past loves you today and will love you in eternity future. His love will never change. And it doesn't matter what mood might be prevalent, God doesn't change with moods. It doesn't matter what circumstances may have changed, God doesn't change with circumstances, his love. And God cannot alter his nature. I hope that we all try to be as little change in our lives as we can. And one of the things that I attempt to do is to try to be consistent and not given to moods and not given to ups and downs. I don't like people to approach me not knowing what kind of mood I'm in, you know. I hope I'm in a generally docile mood. But aren't you glad that when you approach God, you always know God's going to be in the same mood and his love is always going to be consistent? He doesn't change. And he doesn't change with seasons. He doesn't change with moods. He doesn't change. His love is eternal. His love is unconditional. His love is sacrificial. And so one of the things I'm grateful for this morning is that God's immutable and his love is immutable. But there's a second thing that I'm thankful for, and that is that because of the immutability of God, his holiness is always the same. This is no surprise to you, I'm sure, but God's holiness is the same today as it was yesterday, and it'll always be the same. So God can't look on sin any differently than he's ever looked on sin. Just because we live in a society that doesn't want to call sin sin anymore, and where judges can tell us how we define marriage, and we're supposed to be okay with that. But the truth is, whether our nation changes or not, God doesn't change in his holiness. And sin is sin, and it always will be sin. because it's against God's nature. There are lots of definitions of sin. One of those definitions means to step out of bounds. You know? And who set the boundaries? God did. And when we step out of those bounds, what have we done? We've sinned. And he sets the boundaries in accordance with his holiness. And his holiness doesn't change. And so God is not going to wink at sin. God is not going to tolerate sin any more than he's ever tolerated sin. And aren't you glad for Romans 3? Let's turn back to Romans 3. And let's start at verse 21. Romans 3:21. It says, but now the righteousness of God, and we could sneak in, you know, it's kind of talking about his holiness too there. Righteousness, you know, it's a sister word to holiness. So the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? Because God's holy. Being justified freely by his grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is always holy. You know, and sadly, a lot of people like to pick and choose the attributes of God that they like, and the ones they don't like, they kind of ignore. Everybody likes God's attribute of love. A lot of people don't like his attribute of holiness because there's expectations that come with the holiness. And Jesus Christ and God the Father are pure, holy, and cannot tolerate, condone, accept, or ignore sin in any form. And so I'm thankful today for God's immutability that affects his love, doesn't change, that affects his holiness, it doesn't change. But here's a third thing that I'm thankful for with the immutability of God is this. God is always seeking the lost. From the very, very earliest time of history on this earth, when Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? He came to look for them. He came to seek them. And all of history since then has been a history of God seeking the lost. In his voice, he continues to call, call, call. I guess I'll tell this story since I've already embarrassed him with his birthday. One time, my wife and I and our three children, who were all very young at the time, had a youth pastor in our midst who also had three young children. And all of us went to the zoo in Detroit, the Detroit, Michigan Zoo. And when we went to the zoo, we had six little ones to look after while we were walking around the zoo. And it wasn't too long into our time that all of a sudden, one was missing. And who do you think it was? was Nathan. And was he about four then? 2 to 3. All right, so I was high in my estimation, but 2 to 3 years old, and he wasn't there. And certainly, we began a frantic search. And we were calling and calling, and we went off in every direction looking. And some other animal had beckoned him the opposite direction that we were going. He went to go see something else that we went to. And a lady, thankfully, had found him, and he was crying. And when she saw our panic look, she didn't even have to question whether that child was ours or not. Do you know, God throughout history has called and called and called and continues to call the lost, like a shepherd calling his lost sheep. God never changes in that he is always seeking the lost. Always. Always. Aren't you glad that through someone being a faithful witness and someone sharing either a track or a message or a witness with you, that through that God got a hold of your heart and called you unto himself? Look at John chapter 15. John 15. Excuse me, I think I wrote down a wrong passage here. I think I wanted Luke 15. Luke 15. And what do we have here as three quick parables together here? We have the parable of the lost sheep, we have the parable of the lost coin, and we have the parable of the lost son. All right? If we know nothing much about any of these parables, what do we know? They're lost, and they were sought, and they were found. What a wonderful picture of what God does in our lives. He is seeking the lost. Jesus said, "I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so that has not changed. God is still seeking the lost. And he wants to use you and I as instruments in helping seek the lost. And so I'm thankful that God is immutable. He doesn't change in his love, in his holiness, and his seeking of the lost. And let me give you just one more way that I'm thankful that God has not changed. God always keeps his promises. You can count on God. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. Now, has Pastor Walter ever been guilty of not keeping a promise? Unfortunately, yes. Sometimes I made a promise that sometimes were outside of my control, that I couldn't keep it. I don't like to do that. I don't intentionally make a promise and break it, but sometimes I cannot keep what I said. Is there any thing that can ever affect God so that he couldn't keep one of his promises? No. Nothing can ever affect God so that he is unable to keep his promises. And again, back in John chapter 14 this time, familiar verses there in John 14, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what's the promise? I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." That's just one of the promises of God. He's promised to give eternal life to those who receive and believe in him. He's promised that no man is going to pluck you out of the Father's hand. I am so thankful today that I know I'm secure in Christ. I'm secure in God because God doesn't change. God does not change in his love. I don't care what you have done today, God's love for you has not changed. God does not change in his holiness. God has the same expectations that we need to be holy as he is holy. God doesn't change in any way in relationship to his promises, and he doesn't change in relationship to seeking the lost. He's immutable. He doesn't change. And as we come up to Thanksgiving holiday here, let's be thankful that God doesn't change. And that gives us assurance, confidence, hope, peace, security in a changing world that's never the same. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these reminders this morning about our wonderful, wonderful God. A God that we can trust. A God that invites us to have a permanent relationship with him through Christ. I'm reminded of a song that has words that say, "What though wars may come with marching feet and beat of the drum, for I have Christ in my heart. What though nations rage as we approach the end of the age, for I have Christ in my heart. God is still on the throne, Almighty God is he, and he cares for his own through all eternity. So let come what may, whatever it is, I only say that I have Christ in my heart. I have Christ in my heart." And Christ in your heart doesn't change. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder how many would say, "Pastor, I am rejoicing with you this morning that God and Christ do not change, and I am resting in that truth today." And you'd slip up your hand and say, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen." Are there any of you who say, "You know, circumstances just have been terrible in my life. I've had things go wrong, and Satan has caused me to even doubt whether God still loves me." Let me assure you this morning that no matter what has happened in your life, God still loves you. because he doesn't change. God's promises are still sure and steadfast. And no matter what has happened or whatever will happen in your life, you can trust God. How many would say, Pastor, I've been struggling with a couple things, and thank you for reminding me that my God is sure and steadfast, doesn't change, and I'm just going to continue to trust him more. You'd slip up your hand and say, that's a decision I'm making in my life right now. Amen. Amen. God doesn't change. You know, maybe you've allowed some sin into your life. Maybe the Spirit of God has spoken to you today and said, you know, God doesn't change in relationship to that sin. He expects us to confess and forsake that sin. And he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there anyone who would say this morning, God has spoken to my heart about a particular area of my life that I need to confess and forsake, and here's my hand, pray for me. Anyone? Yes? Yes? Yes. Thank you. Aren't you glad that the promises of God are yea and amen? There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, thank you for this wondrous truth. And I pray that we might trust and rely upon it, that we might rejoice in it, that we might order our lives in light of it. Bless each hand that was lifted this morning in whatever area of response. We just ask you to do your good work in each heart and life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.